This is continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
On counts one and count three.
Response from the state.
In considering the JOA argument as to whether there is sufficient evidence for this defendant to be a principal to the charges, the state first wants to point out the emails in this case that detail the defendant's hate for Dan Markell and her motive. If he's out of the picture, then Wendy and the grandsons can come to live in Miami where she is, and she was the person who benefited most from this crime by them being able to do that. We also heard from Luis Rivera. He said that he and Garcia followed Dan Markell's car from his home to the daycare, to the gym the day of the murder, and had surveilled Dan Markell's comings and goings from the park outside of Trescott Drive in the month before and the weekend of the murder. We also saw on the defendant's planner where in 2014 she had year, make, model of Dan Markell's car as well as his license plate. We also heard from Catherine Magbanua. She said that Charles Adelson said that his parents had just been at his house the night of the murder when she arrived, and then also told her his mom had washed the money. This was the same money that was provided to the killers and that Magbanua found was wet. That testimony was corroborated by phone evidence showing that the defendant stopped at Charlie Adelson's house the night of the murder. We saw the text message from her saying she's outside his house, and that was during the short stretch of highway where she has 1 hour unaccounted for on her drive, when the rest of her drive she was able to accomplish within the estimated time that the mapping software would think that she would have. We also heard from Rob Adelson and heard that she told him not to talk to the FBI, and when he let her know that he already had, she said, well, you don't know anything anyway. She also had a complete lack of curiosity about what happened, according to him, and said that, I don't know and I don't care what happened. It's not my concern. We saw from the evidence that this defendant had an access to a large amount of cash, kept her cash in a safe, and that it was very common for she and Charlie Adelson to transfer cash back and forth to each other. We saw that she signed 44 checks to Catherine Magbanua from Adelson Institute over the course of 2 years. This is despite the fact that Charlie Adelson had signing authority there. He could have done it himself if it was just him acting alone here. We also heard that in 2015, Harvey Adelson bought Adelson Institute back from Charlie Adelson, and we saw on the summary of the checks where roughly half the checks written to Catherine Magbanua were written from fall of 2015 to spring of 2016, where Harvey Adelson would have been back as one of the primaries in the business. Donna Adelson, we also saw from the bump video, she was handed an article with Danny's picture about the murder, and she calls her son. He's the first call that she makes, and she tells Charlie specifically that this involves the both of us and that it involves the two of us when she's talking about the article that she was handed about Dan Markell's murder. So while there is a lot of circumstantial evidence and inferences in this case, there is also direct evidence, and the state argues that her admission that after being handed an article about the murder that it involves both of us and it involves the two of us to Charlie Adelson is direct evidence and an admission of guilt in this case. And she also tells Charlie Adelson the TV costs five, or this TV is about five. And that's the same TV that's referenced that Charlie Adelson bought instead of hiring a hitman, and that Wendy's family, that her mother helped set up as part of her alibi and emailed Wendy about that day after the appointment was made by her father. When the wire took place, she and Charlie Adelson are overheard discussing the fact that they don't need to be talking on the phone. They don't need to be talking in an apartment. They go to great lengths to take a walk outside, to sit down by the water where they can't be overheard, to sit by the pool where they can't, they believe they're not able to be heard by law enforcement. And on the wire, we see the same pattern of communication that was seen in the call detail records before the wire took place. Donna to Charlie to Catherine to Garcia. And this is consistent with McBanois's testimony of how communication was relayed in this case.
Before you continue, Mr. Dugan, specifically as to the argument of stacking inferences, what is the state's position?
The state's position is there are inferences in this case. There is circumstantial evidence in this case. However, there is also direct evidence. Even if there was only substantial circumstantial evidence, you know, the Bush case from the Florida Supreme Court did away with excluding every reasonable hypothesis of innocence in circumstantial evidence cases. However, we have more than just that here. We have this defendant writing checks to the middleman of this murder. We have her admitting it involves the two of us. And we also have her suborning perjury by admitting to one of her friends in custody, Patricia Byrd, that she did do what she was accused of. That's what Ms. Byrd said on direct, and I clarified that with her on redirect. Was it that she told you that she just wrote checks, or did you specifically ask her, did you do what she's accused of, or did you do what they say you did? And she said that no, she said she did what she was accused of. And she's also offering to pay for false testimony from Byrd and from Ms. Bernhardt, and even writing a script for Ms. Bernhardt to come in and recite in trial. We also have Donna Adelson adopting Charlie Adelson's extortion defense during and after Charlie's trial through text messages. And on the other hand, we have texts between Donna Adelson and Charlie Adelson in 2016 where we see that Charlie Adelson is telling her that his attorney is meeting with Garcia's attorney, and we see her reaction to that, which is not consistent with someone who believed that they were being extorted by Garcia or by that group for the past 2 years. We also see the 2016 text messages where we see Donna Adelson's reaction to Charlie Adelson workshopping this other possible theory of Dan Markell's murder. And our argument is that reaction is not consistent to with somebody who believed that she was being extorted, according to Charlie Adelson, for the past 2 years. We also have evidence of consciousness of guilt in this case. We have her fleeing with an emergency fast-track visa she sought to obtain within hours of Charlie Adelson's verdict. And within also hours of Charlie Adelson's verdict, sending a text that says, basically, you know I'm next, but that won't happen, and I'll take care of that. And then going to board this flight to a non-extradition country a week later. So the state's argument is all of that circumstantial evidence combined with the direct evidence in this case, in the light most favorable to the state, there has been competent substantial evidence that a reasonable trier of fact could find the existence of the elements of this crime beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right. The legal standard the court must apply at this point is the reviewing the evidence in the light most favorable to the state. I believe in Turner versus State, 29 Southern 3rd, 361. In moving for a judgment of acquittal, a defendant admits the facts and evidence in every conclusion favorable to the state that may be reasonably inferred from the evidence. As to the direct evidence, the circumstantial evidence, and also the consciousness of guilt evidence taken together, I believe this is sufficient to overcome the matter that was raised in Williams versus State. The motion for judgment of acquittal will be denied at this time. Does the defense, as to counts 1 and 3 specifically of the indictment, does the defense have any other motions to raise?
Just a moment.
Judge, there was an issue that you, Your Honor, raised last week concerning advice of counsel. I don't know if we can approach to address that.
You may.
More continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson is coming up from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.